This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike. Transform and roll out!
Hi, this is Jim Sorensen.
And Bill Forster.
And you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Hi, this is Gary Chalk, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me again is the Transformers Quartet.
Yes.
Yep.
I like that.
Okay.
That works.
Yeah.
Mike's the soprano.
So yes, it's midnight. We're all dead. Mike, take it away.
So we are here tonight to count down our top 10 favorite Transformers scenes or moments.
Not as tricky as I thought it might be.
Yeah, honestly, after last time, after we recorded episode 45, you know, I said to you guys off air that I was like, I'm not sure if I can make a top 10 list here. And then I sat down for about, I don't know, less than 30 minutes and pretty much thought of the 10 most favorable moments for me. And it was pretty easy. On my list, I didn't even have to make a list of more than 10. I just thought of the moments that I knew I absolutely loved, and that was my 10. I have two honorable mentions that we'll get to at the end. Because I guarantee you at least two out of the four of us here will start groaning for one of my honorable mentions if I actually put it on my list. I was super worried about this episode because I didn't know what the hell I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but it was so much easier than I thought it would be. How did you come up with your list, Kev? I know you made, because you've told me, you made at least 20 or 30 different entries and then you whittled it down, but how else did you...
Similar to how we did with the favorite characters, I kind of took each thing, G1, the Transformers, the movie, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Transformers Prime, Animated Unicron Trilogy, and the Bay films, and just started thinking of any moments that stood out to me, reviewed some of the episodes to try to pick stuff out, and once I slapped everything down on my little spreadsheet, I think I had around 20 to 25 moments, kind of went through and bolded out the for sure things, and when I got done bolding for sure things, I basically had 10. I kind of went back and forth on my 10th one, switched it out a couple different times with another one until I finalized it, but the other 9 were for sure in there. So I guess that means I was pretty definitive on my end.
And I'm guessing, Mr. Wilson, you just went from current to back to the old days, right?
Not so much. I think I took a similar approach. I just was trying to think of what popped into my head first when I thought about Transformers, and it was more lines of dialogue than scenes. I mean, a few scenes popped out at me that I could remember, but for the most part, it was like memorable bits of dialogue.
Right. What about you, Steve?
It's pretty much things that I can sit and watch over and over based on not only dialogue, but the things going on screen.
for a minute there, I thought he was going to have, you know, number 10, Megatron, number 9, Megatron, number 8, Megatron.
We're not doing characters. I gave that a fair shake.
No. I'm saying, like, every moment or quote would be from Beast Wars Megatron.
Could have done top 10 quotes, darn it.
Well,
yeah, we could have.
That would be a short show.
That actually, that's what episode 49 is going to be.
That will be a short show.
That's okay.
I'm just going to repeat what I say here. I already got it written down.
So you just take the dialogue, the one line of dialogue out of the scene.
Yeah.
There we go.
It won't even be us speaking. It'll just be the lines. Like, yeah. Optimus Solo, number 10, and just play a line. Optimus Solo, number 9, play a line.
It'd be like a drinking game.
Every time Optimus speaks, drink.
Every time Beast Wars Megatron says yes or no, take a drink.
Do it, Steve. You know you want to.
Why? Yes.
And we're drunk.
Yep, pretty much.
So we're going to go reverse order, right? Mike, you're going first?
No. We're going to take a quick break and hear some audio clips, and then we'll get into the countdown after this.
Rules were meant to be broken. You got to tune up or tune out, old bot.
Grimlock need new strategy.
No, not fair. Why is Minnie minding our own business when... Bang! Gets whole stasis pod right up the kazooty.
I'd like some wine with that wine.
G1 Megatron?
No! I'll crush you with my bare hands!
Transformers Prime Megatron.
And one shall fall. You, Optimus Prime!
G1 Megatron?
I would have waited an eternity for this. It's over, Prime.
Transformers Prime Megatron.
This is merely the beginning. I now possess enough Dark Energon to reanimate Unicron himself. Yes!
All right, we are back. Steve, what is your number 10 favorite moment or scene or quote?
Pass.
Mike, you're up.
No, Steve, come on now.
I'm still trying to decipher which of my 10.
Jesus, Michael, go ahead.
My number 10 comes from a season 2 of the G1 series. There was an episode... I forget the title offhand, but it was Triple Changers. It was like the Triple Changer Initiative.
Triple Takeover.
The Triple Takeover? Okay.
Yep.
So so at the end, you have this scene where Megatron and Starscream are kind of trapped and flowing down this river kind of thing. No, it was a sewer, but it didn't look nearly as dirty as a sewer because it had blue water. And as they were escaping from the sewer... Starscream says, "It wasn't me, it was the Triple Changers." And Megatron says, "You're either lying or you're stupid." And he says, "I'm stupid." Yeah. I love that. I remember that from my childhood. That's one of those things that sticks with me.
Yep.
That great Chris Latta and Frank Welker voices.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Kev, number 10.
I will also start with a G1. I'm actually going to go with the opening moments from the entire series. I, for some reason, really enjoyed Victor Caroli as the frequent narrator, voiceover for G1, and just the original telling of the origin, the backstory of what this entire thing that we're talking about, this entire franchise, is all based on, or at least the G1 cartoon, if you want to be specific. But just his voiceover and kind of talking about, you know, how war was raging and bringing us all the way to Earth, just hearing him speak. And then any other time I heard him throughout the rest of the series kind of reminded me of him being the first voice I heard in Transformers.
Good call.
Steve, number 10.
Why does Mike always have to go last? Just kidding.
Because.
He was a pain in the ass, that's why. The scene where we're in Beast Machines where Megatron goes, I live! And then he's in the drone body and he goes, what the devil body is this?
For me at number 10 is from Animated, the Endgame final scene when they return to Cybertron, just because of that 59-second musical score at the end of that. I absolutely love the music at the end of that series. Kev, number 9.
Oh, we're switching the order now.
No.
Wait, my dog he didn't have a scene yet. Hold on.
You're skipping Mr. Wilson, Mike.
That's because his dog was having a scene.
My dog has to include his 2 cents.
Yeah.
What was Dargo his favorite? I didn't get that interpreter.
Yeah, well, let me interpret that for you. Dargo says that his 9th favorite scene. You've seen this, right, dog? No?
Yes.
I'm sure he has. All right. His favorite scene is in the 1986 movie. When Megatron is bringing his team down to the Earth in the shuttle, and he says, "I forget what Starscream says." He says something like, "You know, wouldn't it be better if we actually did what we're supposed to do, and that's attacking the moon base?" And he looks and says, "You're an idiot,
Starscream."
That's exactly what he said. "You're an idiot, Starscream."
Wouldn't it be easier to slip by their early warning systems in their own shuttle and attack Autobots City and vanquish the Autobots forever?
That's exactly what he said. I've got the scene on YouTube somewhere. I was gonna send it over. Yeah, that's a good line.
I agree.
Again, backing up Starscream's foolishness here.
We have a theme here.
Exactly.
My number 9 so far. Michael and I are, I guess, thinking alike, because I'm going to also go to Transformers the movie, but a different moment, and that would be the whole reformatting sequence that we get from Unicron, where he changes Megatron into Galvatron, and Scourge and Cyclonus and everything, just the whole idea that he had that power and he could basically change the look and everything about him and revive him, and just hearing Unicron's booming voice during that scene where he's basically laying down the law with Megatron/Galvatron. So that was a cool scene for me.
That's good stuff. I like that.
Steve, number 9.
Mine would also be the Autobot shuttle. That's just such an iconic. I mean, it's the one scene where you get to have an argument between them, and then you get to have, you get, you know, Starscream basically blowing away with Megatron for the Autobots. Just in one quick moment, like within 30 seconds, they're all dead. You have Brawn, you have Prowl, you have Ratchet, and then Ironhide's last to go by fusion cannon to the head.
No. My number 9 would be from Beast Wars, when Optimal Optimus gets his reveal. Man, Optimus sure learns a new body fast. What do you expect? He changes them often enough. I love Optimal Situation. I love that entire episode, but just having that body reveal just having the 4-mode Optimal Optimus was just amazing. Michael, number 8?
Number 8. My number 8, Dargo ran off, so I don't know what his number 8 is, but my number 8 comes from Transformers Animated. This was Endgame Part 2. And it kind of goes along with yours, Mike, but at the end, well, one of my favorite lines is David Kay. Where he's fighting Megatron, and he says, "You're a persistent little Autobot." And David K says, "My name is Optimus Prime." I love that. I've actually got a I forget which toy it is. I have an animated toy. When you click on it, it says, "My name is Optimus Prime."
But it's not David K saying it, is it?
Ah, you know what? I think it was. I'm almost positive it was a voice clip from that scene.
I know he did some of the toy voices, but he didn't do all of them.
Trying to remember which one it was, but yeah, that's one of those things. There's a lot of good scenes, a lot of good lines and such from that series, but that's the one that sticks with me at least more over than the G1 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My number 8, I'm finally going to differ from Mr. Wilson here. Imagine that.
Oh.
I'm going to go with back to G1. Maybe not one that everybody would pick out, but I really liked it as a kid, and I still like it when I see it. But from Starscream's Brigade, the creation of the Combaticons. Now, we had seen Combiners before this, but just the whole idea that that Starscream was creating this and that he was going to, Cybertron to find these sparks, etc. I just liked the idea and that he had his own little army there and creating the Combaticons. So that was a cool moment for me.
The whole idea behind that episode, the whole beginning of that episode, was something we had never seen before. Like, they started showing you the war.
Well, it was also kind of that first time that we were – maybe not the first time. I guess I'd have to really think about it. But it was a theme that has been used in other series as far as, getting that spark and putting it into a different vessel or a different body and having that become a viable transformer, obviously. Beast Wars used it a lot.
Yeah.
Etc.
Beast machines use it all the time. No, but what I'm saying is in G1, usually every single episode either starts off with Spike and Sparkplug, or it starts off at the Autobot base, or it starts off with the Decepticons attacking someone. We never had an episode until Starscream's Brigade that actually started with showing you an action, because they were mimicking World War II,
right?
I believe.
I want to say it was like 1940.
1943.
Yeah, it was later. It was during the Pacific Theater.
Right, yeah.
But the part from that episode that really sticks with me the most is at the end, where they're stranded on that asteroid.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That was cool.
Yeah, and I mean, technically that is a two-parter, Starscream's Brigade and The Revenge of Bruticus. That's just, they leave it off on that cliffhanger.
Right, yeah, they start the next episode on the asteroid.
Yep. Steve, number 8?
It would have to be the scene where Starscream comes back to life by Hand of Unicron, and Starscream is supposed to be plugging him in and tells him to go screw himself and leaves.
Yeah, that was always a... I mean, we knew that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, Starscream's a traitor.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was going to happen. I really thought he was going to go through with it.
I Starscream's, what's in it for me, that's always number one. And then once he gets what he wants, it's like, screw you guys, I'm going home. So it was funny.
On the other hand, it's good that he didn't.
Because we would be really screwed because, could you imagine Unicron being in Cybertron?
Well, Unicron being in Cybertron and with no Optimus Prime.
Yep.
Yep.
We have the Matrix. He doesn't know how to open the damn thing.
He had to kill himself to talk to it. So, it's just, kill yourself, Rodimus.
Optimus Prime is like, what are you doing here, Rodimus?
I needed a pep talk, Optimus.
I killed myself again.
Get your ass back to battle.
My number 8 is from Transformers Prime. I believe this is in season 1, episode 20, Partners. It's Rock Bottom, when Megatron is trapped in the cave and Starscream is going to leave him there. And Starscream gets to the surface and Steve Bloom, with his voice, goes all diva. Fearing Megatron's reaction after attempting to kill him. I thought that was great. And so that's my number 8. Michael, number 7?
Number 7. Okay, now I'm surprised no one has picked this yet, and I'm sure someone's going to pick it, probably for their number 1, but it was the scene in Transformers the Movie in 86. When I say Transformers the Movie... And I'm going to say, it should be implied. Exactly. It's implied. Yeah. It's a 1986 cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't say Bay, then you know what the hell you're talking about. Just get to it already.
We're not going to say Bay. Come on now. All right. So, but it was the Optimus Prime death scene. Yeah, the whole scene where they're gathered around his deathbed, and they you know, he's trying to pass the Matrix on, and they drop it, and he finally turns gray and dies, and everybody's crying, and it was an emotional scene. I think it touched everyone who ever seen it.
Mm-hmm. True that.
Kev?
All right, Steve will appreciate this. I'm going to Beast Wars here. Beast Wars for my number 7, and that would be something we kind of mentioned when we were talking about characters, I guess. But the whole, just about every moment where Waspinator is being possessed by the ghost of Starscream, that's just an enjoyable thing to see Waspinator and Starscream kind of intertwined, I guess. So I like that moment. It's moments, plural, I guess, on that one.
Steve, number 7.
Just to save time, I'm going to go with the same one because I was debating whether it was going to be my next one or this one. So, but yeah, I it's kind of hard to argue with another possession by Starscream.
So you didn't like that more than Kevin?
I have some other scenes that are trailing a little bit ahead that are a little bit more almost important, I would say.
Yeah. I think that one would have fallen in my honorable mentions.
Yeah, you G1 addict, you.
Exactly.
Don't worry, you won't find any animated in mine.
Lord, here we go. All right, my number 7, going to stick with Transformers Prime here. Going to go to Predacons Rising, when Smokescreen is more concerned with what to call Mega Unitron or Unimegacron or whatever than he is with actually dealing. No, he said it, not me. There's nothing I can do. The character said it. So that's my number 7. Michael, you're number 6.
Hold on. What comes after 7? My number 6. Optimus Primal. It was in the Agenda Part 3 that they were trying to get into the Ark to get Megatron out of the Ark. And as they're trying to bust through the hull, they can't quite get it. And Rat Trap says, "This thing wasn't built, it was poured." And the line that sticks with me here is Optimus Primal saying, "Diecast construction, it's a lost art." You know, he totally breaks the fourth wall here to remind us that all the current toys are plastic. They don't make cool toys anymore.
No, they don't.
Or at least they don't make toys that aren't going to bust apart in your hands. I mean, granted, there was a huge leaps in technology like the ball joint, you know. but as far as having chunks of the toy entirely made out of metal, you just didn't see that anymore.
I am going to do something that TFG1 Mike has been doing. Go to Transformers Prime here. Possibly, I guess, one of my favorite Transformers Prime moments would be with the reveal that planet Earth is not what it seems to be, and the whole Unicron unveiling. I guess I didn't necessarily see that coming. John Noble did a great job with Unicron's voice, I thought. And that was just a cool moment in that series to kind of see things flipped upside down for a minute.
Best line from that reveal. "What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?"
The taint of Primus?
Yes. Steve, your number 6?
My number 6 would be the scene where Optimus Primal comes back from the dead in Coming of the Fusers Part 2. Where the Maximals are like, "This is it," and Dinobot's like, "Finish," you know, or he's just, you know, "This is the end," and Megatron's like, "Finish it." And they're preparing for the final blast, and then all of a sudden the whole of the Axalon blows open and Primal comes out with a this covering, you know, bulletproof shield that's never been seen before, for the most part. And he starts kicking their ass left and right. I loved that scene for the longest time.
Yes. For me, number six, it was a real toss-up because I was trying to pick my favorite moment of Waspinator getting destroyed. there are a lot of them. And I was going to put in here Dinobot 2 shredding him, Transmetal 2 Dinobot shredding him, but I think I'm going to go with Rhinox's chain gun blowing him to bits. I love that scene.
Yeah, anytime Waspinator gets destroyed was a good scene.
Yep.
Not saying anything bad about Waspinator, it was just always funny.
All right, number five, Michael.
Number five. Okay, I wasn't going to do this. I told you I wasn't going to do this. Bayformers.
Oh, man.
A big fail.
Okay, well, no, wait, hear me out now.
I
saw the first movie at BotCon with 200 fellow fans. And okay. And barely anyone else has seen it yet because we were seeing a previewing, I think we saw it like a week earlier than it hit open nationally. And we were all excited and everyone was cheering at the same time and different scenes resonated with everybody at the same time. It wasn't quite the same experience you would get in a regular theater. So that being said, when Optimus Prime transforms for the first time, it was like the most amazing thing. And everybody was like, woohoo! As soon as it's an epic scene. It's a well-executed scene. The rest of the movie, you know, you can argue about it forever, but that particular scene where Optimus Prime in the alley, when all the Autobots roll up and transform, it was a game changer. You know, it's like, wow, this is what movies are supposed to be like from now on. Seconded only, as long as we're on the subject of Bayformers, at the end when he says, freedom is the right of all sentient beings, that was the other time that the entire audience completely erupted.
I didn't hear, but then they'd better stay out of my way.
Oh, goodness. I don't have any problem with him mentioning Bay in that respect.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, when you preface it like that, it's like, well, you got to understand where I was, when this was, well, and you know, we hadn't been burned by the second movie yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even then, that whole scene where you first see him do that for the first time, it almost becomes like an emotional like moment only because it brings that nostalgia out.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the only cool thing about the second movie was Ravage.
Being skinned alive?
No, when he first appears.
The best part about the second movie was...
it ended?
No, well... No, no, it's the original Soundwave hanging out in the sky for a repeat scene.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Claw.
Yeah.
No.
Autobots converging upon this point.
It would have been funnier if they had gotten much. The guy to that does the Krang and Nolan North to do it.
Oh, yeah.
We are following the Autobots that are here on the Earth.
No.
The ones that are called Autobots on the planet that is called the Earth.
Yeah. You had the voice.
I love that.
That would have been hilarious.
I love that.
Do that for the fifth one.
As much as I love Nolan North's Krang, that's the last thing we need in Transformers movies.
Okay, so we'll get the other Krang.
That really?
I'll see Autobots here.
No, that's even worse.
Saki, where's my body?
Yeah. Kev, number five.
I am going to go to Beast Machines for my number five here. Just the way that series, and in a way, the way that Beast Wars and Beast Machines, I guess, if you want to consider that, the way the whole thing wraps up, the season finale moment with Optimus and Megatron basically both dying in a way, and Cybertron becoming new again, in a cheesy way to say it, I guess. But just the way that whole thing wraps up and kind of ties a bow on it, I kind of liked how it all ended.
Absolutely. Steve, number five.
Beast Wars season one finale, where you know, the alien device that scanned for, you know, and took Unicron's mug as the way of destroying them in a way that they could understand. And then starts trying to incinerate the planet, and you have all these different things go on with, you know, between Tarantulas getting torched by Inferno and everything else going on, and Primal getting trapped in a stasis pod by Megatron, and then Megatron sitting there on a view screen taunting him as he plummets to his doom into the sky and says, "You lose," at him, as, you know, pointing at him, and he's like, "Megatron," which is almost like his Khan moment. Because he's like, "Megatron," and Megatron's just like, "Dumbass," as he blows up. So, I mean, that was a pretty iconic scene in way for Optimus to go. Of course, at the time, I didn't know that was pretty common with an Optimus figure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they repeated the trend over and over for the next 20 years or so.
Yeah. My number five, the only reason why it's at number five is because I'm more of a fan of the other leader than I am of this one. But, no, hold on. I do love the Optimus Megatron battle in Transformers 86. I really do love that. I thought that was a really, really well-fought battle. That was the one moment I wish Hot Rod had never gotten involved, but I do... Stop typing, Kevin. I do love how that turned out.
That's not me.
Assholes.
I am keeping track of everybody's votes, so we have statistics.
Fucking assholes.
Continue your thought.
You can at least use your judicious power of mute.
Judicious use of mute.
Keep talking.
At the end of the podcast, we'll then have Michael Bunchard call people an asshole 54 times.
No, but I do love the Optimus Megatron battle because it's the first time I guess you could count the battle on Sherman Dam when they were using an energy axe and an energy mace, but that really wasn't a battle. The battle in the movie was the knockdown drag-out battle because the two of them died from it.
You may be somewhat forgetting Heavy Metal War.
Well, that was a cheat. Megatron cheated.
That's an epic battle.
It still counts. It was a battle.
That was an epic battle where Optimus was getting his ass handed to him.
It was a
because Megatron fucking cheated.
Or regardless.
It was a can of whoop ass.
Anyway, Michael, you're number four.
Number four. Sorry. G1 movie from 86. I can't. You know, I had started thinking that G1 Grimlock, his quote at the end, which was, "Me, Grimlock, kick butt." You know, when he goes down and actually kicks Unicron in the butt. Mm-hmm. And that's a great line. I thought that was awesome. But I have to expand that a little bit to the entire scene. Just Unicron attacking the planet, mass chaos going on. I would exclude the interior of Unicron. I don't like Rodimus Prime, and I seriously don't like Galvatron either. So whatever's going on inside of Unicron's head, I don't care. But outside, you've got this epic battle going on. And people are just getting slaughtered, and the planet is being crushed, and Grimlock is kicking butt, literally. It's just an awesome scene.
Yeah, that's an epic scene. My number four is going to go back to the world of the Beasts Wars, specifically from Code of Hero, which was a cool episode. I mean, we got lots of G1 links, etc. But just Dinobot taking on the world, and it was just kind of like, I don't know, you have certain moments in Transformers history where certain things are shown, whether it be, you know, like through a death and, you know, just really hitting on emotion, or, you know, just a badass action scene, you know. But this one was just like probably the epitome of an honor scene that we get throughout Transformers franchise. Dinobot going out like a true honorable hero. So that moment from Code of Hero would be my number four.
Steve?
I was also saving Code of Hero because of that. You have Dinobot taking down the entire Predacon army by himself to the point of stasis lock or worse, which he did hit worse. And he ends up face-to-face with Megatron and ends up saving the human based on him going up to Megatron. And Megatron's like, "Your yesterday's technology, what can you possibly do?" And then Dinobot just, you know, hits the stick into the rock and
improvise.
And clobbers Megatron in the back and shatters the disc and totally screws him over. But it also teaches humans how to make tools. So that whole last half of that episode was just very, very emotional. Plus, it redeemed his character 100% for any flaws he may have had.
Yeah,
and
that was a great scene.
And you could see pre-transmental Rat Trap at the end with a transmental head.
TFG1 Mike, will you pick a G1 moment?
No.
Well,
he's going to do an animated.
No.
He's going to do an Armada.
What the fuck are you smoking?
Armada.
Number four goes to Beast Machines and the reveal of Jetstorm is Silverbolt and that he actually relished being evil. I loved what they did with Silverbolt and Beast Machines. I said it last episode. I thought making him the Dark Knight instead of the, you know, super altruistic hero was a lot better for Beast Machines. So I absolutely love it when he is revealed. What about your number three, Michael?
Number three. We're going to go back to the movie.
Aren't all your moments from the fucking movie?
Almost all of them. You know, well, you know, yeah, most of them.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. I mean, granted, there's a couple from the G1 series itself, but the movie's just chock full of stuff that, you know, things that when I'm being contemplative and, you know, just not thinking of anything else, these scenes pop into my head.
Mm-hmm.
So, G1 Devastator, blah, 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 during the attack on Autobot City, when Megatron says, "Merge for the kill!" And they do. And then after that, he says, "Let the slaughter begin." And I'm like, man, we're going to see some serious shit here, man. In fact, all the serious shit got cut out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the, when they actually tore the doors open and then all the Decepticons rushed in and started killing everybody, a lot of that was supposed to be in the movie. I want to say, like, Sunstreaker and Gears and a bunch of other Autobots got killed in that scene.
Charger.
Yeah, but that all got cut out.
Well, it was done for rewrites. It was done to make it so that they could actually get a PG rating.
Well, it was done because they were like, wait a second, we're totally destroying every child in America right now. Maybe we should stop.
Well, it's like they weren't going to do that five seconds from that point.
It's like,
well,
no,
they didn't show it. No, they'd already showed the other parts.
They're not crushed and weeping yet. Well, let's hold off until Optimus actually dies.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, they were going to do that. Yeah. No, no. Nobody cared that Prowl's light...
I'm going to disagree with that, so...
Nobody cared that Prowl's eyes got set on fire and smoke came out of his mouth.
Yeah, they did.
I was pretty sure he was going to live through that.
Number three. I'm just going to cut Mike off here. I'm going to do something that Michael did that caused some consternation amongst the panel. I am going to mention the word Michael Bay, I guess. Yeah, all the way up at number three. Is that crazy or what?
He's a brave man.
Probably going to be something from Revenge of the Craptacular.
And I can't even preface my mind with saying that I was watching it.
It's Megan Fox's ass, right?
Yeah, it's from the last movie.
That was my honorable mention.
No, it was Turtles. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I thought they were the same thing.
But it's very similar to Michael, so I think I should get a pass here. Not only was his first transformation cool, but simply hearing Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime in the first film. I don't care if you want to go with his opening monologue or the final monologue that he gives, but something about hearing Cullen's voice in a monologue from Prime was just like, it gave me shivers.
You weren't allowed to cheer in your theater, though.
No. So, yeah. But it was just like, oh, that's so perfect hearing his voice. Like, that makes this movie okay for a minute.
I was happy with the movie. I don't know. I mean, like I said, we hadn't yet suffered through the second one. We didn't really have much to compare it to other than, this is awesome.
The first one, I'll give you a pass on. That one was kind of hard to sit and argue with. Everything past that, I've wanted to choke a bitch.
Although the first one was still the hardest one to figure out what was going on in any type of fight scene.
It was, but it was something new. But at the same time, it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't tainted by movie film money at that point.
But I guess my point with this one is if you take Peter Cullen out of that film and insert some other voice actor,
it's a crap.
I don't even know what that effect would be on that movie. Like, his voice doing that for me is what kind of tied it all together and made it, you know, something that I could get behind.
Well, that was the redeeming quality of the film.
So my one Bay moment will be that moment, and I will not say the word again.
Steve, number three.
Beast Wars.
I am the Alpha and the Omega. Say it. Say it.
That's probably his number one.
I'm going to hold off on that one. But it's what? The scene where he goes, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning at the end. I would say that the Beast Machines ending, I'd almost have to argue, is my number three. Just because, not that I didn't like that one, that's like constantly one of the ones I'm torn with scene wise. But I find I like these other two scenes more based on the dialogue. But this one I like because of the fighting, and then the fact that even though Megatron's using the optimal body and four times the size of optimal at this point, Primal and the Oracle take his ass down to the center of the planet before reformatting him. But I love that whole scene towards the end of that episode.
And then Cybertron had flowers.
And then it had Wasp the Thrustinator.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You had to have something to pollinate the flowers.
Yeah, nothing like a robo face with a wasp ass. Oh my god. Wasp ass. It's like swamp ass. But
his brother's broke ass and po ass and gonna beat yo ass.
My number three goes back to Transformers Animated, the scene where the scene where Shockwave finally gets his true colors, because I was so pissed the entire time that Long Arm would ever put the Shockwave form on, and he was fucking gray. I hated that. And then it was actually funny. That Saturday that I saw that was the Sunday after that, was when Derek J. Wyatt said, "Go to Target. The shockwaves are $5.
All is forgiven."
Yes, exactly. Michael, you're number two.
Number two. Can you guess where it's going to be from?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be shit.
Unicron! Hey. You can't shit on Unicron.
That's right.
Well, you said it was number two.
No, actually, this is the same as... I get it!
I was going to say, if he's talking about Transformers Prime Unicron, technically all of the sewers lead to the center of the planet. That's... So technically the entire planet shits on Unicron.
Bad pun.
All roads lead to the Roload at the center of the planet.
The Roload. The Roload.
Blah, blah, blah. Speaking is not my strong point. I'm sorry.
You mean that speaks so well?
Yeah, Kevin's number nine is my number two because I liked it a lot more than Kevin.
Hey, I listed it.
Yeah. when Unicron meets Megatron or Megatron meets Unicron, the whole Orson Welles dialogue is awesome. And again, there's these lines that pop out at me that I will use in conversation, like when he says that it pleases me to be the first. I say this. Someone will be like, "Wow, that's never happened before." And I'll be like, "Well, it pleases me to be the first." No one has any idea where this comes from. You know? It's like, is that a line from something? No, that's me. That's totally me.
I totally made that up.
That's totally me.
I'm just a really good life writer.
Exactly. Or he says, what is it? There was another line that I say. But yeah, the whole scene where Megatron gets reformatted, it's just really cool. I really like that one. You know what?
It's like taking a third degree burn victim and then scraping the skin off and putting new on.
Was it you that was arguing last time that it was actually Megatron innards and it was just new skin and stuff? It's like, no, he changed the whole thing. The whole thing changed, man.
Well,
like all the little squiggly lines, the little pink squiggly lines, they all moved. All the innards were different. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Same brain.
Or maybe, I don't know.
Body.
He didn't say, "My name is Megatron." He said, "My name is Galvatron."
I like Michael Wilson.
Kev?
I'm going to try to add some more points into the Transformers the Movie column, I guess. And it's almost impossible to beat this. This really could be my number one, but it's just missing out to be number two here. It's just a perfect moment all the way around, and it's Optimus tearing through the Decepticon ranks as we hear the touch as he's making his way towards Megatron. Not talking about the actual Megatron Optimus battle, not talking about Optimus Destiny, just him running through there, flipping things left and right while we hear the touch is a great moment from the movie.
Absolutely. Steve, number two.
Let me preface this in saying I don't have Transformers the Movie in the remaining, only because I like that entire movie, and it would be a cop-out for me to choose any one scene, being that I would choose the entire movie. So I couldn't qualify that as a one-scene type deal. So I'm going to have to go up to my runner-ups, which I favor more anyway. This is Beast Machines, where Optimus figures out that who's pulling the strings? Master of the House. Where Megatron's like, "Welcome to my throne room, Optimus Primal." And then basically taunts him for the duration of the episode.
Good stuff.
Yep.
My number two is after they get reformatted in Beast Machine. Shut up.
Number two.
Shut up. After they get reformatted in Beast Machines, when Cheetor says, let's take these new bodies for a test drive. I love what Ian James Corlett did with his voice for Cheetor and basically making him more adult in Beast Machines.
He made him a little more mature each time.
Right, exactly. Absolutely love that. Michael, what is your number one moment?
My number one moment is it's something that I like just a little bit more than Kevin. And, and that was the you got.
You
the
guys
test
just
scene.
Copied off of each other's
no,
list.
No, I swear.
This is high school.
No, it just means
all
that it's right.
That's right, because we are correct. That whole scene where he's Optimus Prime is coming off the shuttle and he says Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost. And then it kicks in. You got the touch.
So hard. To
it's awesome. It's just. Yeah, you know, Stan Bush, man.
It was so many different things that were right with that scene. Like, it's not just like it's like 17 things that are good.
It's not even the Megatron versus Optimus fight, which oddly I didn't mention in my top 10. It was getting to that point that was just so epic. That whole Optimus Prime is driving right down the middle of Autobot City, taking people out left and right. He's got these front thrusters that who knew they were there, you know, and he shoots up into the air and transforms and does a flip and just starts shooting everybody as he's, you know, flipping. It's like, holy crap, he's
Hero
flipping and he's
arrived.
Shooting people. Yeah.
That's right. Has come for us.
It was epic. And I've talked about this in the past. It's, yeah, we've been doing this, what, 6 years? Five, 6 years? Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned it before in several shows that in the shower, You Got the Touch will pop into my head, and I'll be like, You Got the Touch in the shower.
We all say what happens next.
Exactly. You got the touch! And then it's
no,
like,
thank you.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Don't mind if I do, actually. And
that's not an explosion we need to see on screen.
And there's no cameras.
I know, right?
We don't need to see that. No one wants to see that. But for a long time, I wasn't pleased with Stan Bush. And it was like, damn it, Stan Bush wrote this horrible song, and it's stuck in my head, and it won't go away. And, you know, until I actually talked to him and got to know him a little bit, and it's like, yeah, he's a nice enough guy. I really like this song now. And when it pops in my head, I don't dread it, you know, because for a long time it was like, man, why does this song plague me, man? But it plagued me because it's an awesome scene. Exactly, because it's not – and not to be confused with the other time it plays in the movie. But,
right.
You know, but that scene, Megatron must be stopped no matter the cost. And it's like, oh, you go get him, Optimus. Get him.
Kevin, number one.
Just the slightest ever of slivers ahead of that one for me. And it's just me personally. I know a lot of people didn't probably have the same impact from the scene, and Optimus's death and this, that, and the other were probably more impactful or whatever. But, I will stick with Transformers, the movie, for my number one. And that would be that, I know a lot of you guys mentioned it early on, but for me, it had a much bigger impact. And that was the, Autobot shuttle death opening death scene to the movie where we see Brawn, Prowl, Ratchet, Ironhide all get killed because that is just something that shook my world as far as everything I knew about Transformers. And it's not just that I'm a morbid, evil person that had always wanted a character from one of the cartoons to actually die. I don't know why, but that's horrible to say. But it's like it was that artificial part of what always took me out of cartoons. You know, I could never get completely sunk into a cartoon because I knew nobody was ever going to die. Like everybody always comes back. The bad guy never wins. No character ever actually gets killed. And then I'm watching this movie, and within minutes, half of my favorite characters are blown to pieces, and I'm just like, what in the heck is going on here?
What just happened?
Well, let's see what else happens. Like, I'm in. What's going to be left after this movie? So that scene just like shook my world as far as the Transformers franchise and just in general as far as like cartoons and animated stuff. And I was just like, that had a bigger impact than any other moment in Transformers history for me, bigger than Optimus Prime's death.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I really thought they were going to live through that. I didn't think they were dead. I'm like, they can't possibly be dead. I mean, red lasers, blue lasers, nobody hits each other.
Right.
Yeah, but this isn't Star Wars and Star Trek.
Well, but I mean, that's just that scene where you're just like, at first you're just like, what? Like, are they dead? Are they, what's going on? And then, you know, that, I mean, when Megatron basically shoots Ironhide, it's like, oh, doesn't seem to be a joke.
No. Because they can't even show where he shot him. He shot his head off.
Like, wow. Wow, guys. So that was my
I'm really surprised you didn't. You might mention it in your honorable mention, so I may be jumping the gun on you here, but I'm really surprised you didn't mention your favorite G1 character getting eaten by Unicron. Jazz. When Jazz and Cliffjumper got eaten.
Yeah.
I thought he meant Arbalest.
No.
No, they got eaten. They just didn't die.
If you remember last episode, my favorite character was not either of those people.
Anyway. All right, Steve, number one.
Dun-dun-dun!
It is...
I am Alpha and Omega.
It's the Nemesis Part 2 ending.
Do the whole thing. You know you wanna.
God, we don't have time for that.
Sure we do. Do it. Do it from the beginning to the end.
I'll speak it from the beginning to the end. Tarantulas may have left a legacy I can yet utilize.
That's from part one anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's great. The end parts where, you know, he casts aside Dinobot for traitoring after he's gone back to normal. And Primal and him are sitting side by side just like nothing ever happened. And, you know, Rhinox T-bones through the ship, and you got a Megatron on his hood, you know, for a hood ornament. And Primal's like, come on, Dinobot. Dinobot's like, no, I'm just going to lay here and die. Which is the only problem I had with it. You know, you'd think for Simon Furman writing that episode, he would have made his Dinobot live.
It wasn't Grimlock.
It wasn't Grimlock, but still, it was a Dinobot.
Screw this guy. He's not Grimlock.
Nope, I think he was like, if they do a season 4, I'll bring Grimlock back. But
yeah, they got to repaint him before I care.
Yeah, he's like, he's got to be white, and he's got to be me, Grimlock. Stupid.
I mean, technically, he was white. Dinobot, Transmetal 2 Dinobot was white.
Yeah, so he should have just taken it.
Oh, yeah.
Take it, ran with it. Oh, shit.
I was going to say, no, he's not. He was kind of a weird, but that was the Fox Kids repaint. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And my number one, can anybody guess?
No, I absolutely can't, because you've had Beast the Machines and Animated in the last three.
No, Steve.
The girl who loves Power Glide.
You know better than that.
He likes the rhino farts.
The appearance of Springer.
Oh, hell no.
Wheelie?
I am not Spader, thank you.
Unicron Trilogy? Michael Bay.
Friend fine, look behind.
We're just trying to figure out how your brain works, Mike. We're going with our best guesses here.
Grimlock's new brain.
That's part of the show. That's technically what. No, but no. The Rodimus Galvatron fight.
Which was absolutely sadly anticlimactic.
No, it wasn't. It friggin' worked.
Until Prime told him to.
Was that? That's kind of like the exact opposite of my. Oh, criminy, which one was it? Number?
You don't even friggin' remember.
I'm looking at my list. I'm like, shit, man, I got a lot of stuff here. Which one was it? I don't have it.
Anyway,
the external of Unicron, and you're going with the internal of Unicron? That was like the worst part of that scene.
Yeah, your number
no,
four.
No, it wasn't. The greatest thing about this
it was
is
my number four, thanks. Yeah.
Apparently, Galvatron can't stand looking at bright headlights. Rodimus just blinds him with his headlights.
So your favorite character was Rodimus. Your favorite moment is Rodimus.
Hey, I could have had the animated moment when he only showed up for 5 seconds.
I'm surprised you didn't get that in number 10 or something.
Your favorite moment was it when Rodimus ran over and got Prime killed?
Actually, my number one favorite moment was almost not even going to be from the cartoons. I was going to put in
Bayformer.
Issue 22 of More Than Meets the Eye, where they go through Rewind's film.
Favorite character killed Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Your favorite character was the direct cause of the death of Optimus Prime. So he killed Optimus Prime, and he killed himself.
And next you're going to tell me, that Rodimus is in charge of the Quintessons, and he made them make him a zombie. And then you're going to tell me Rodimus told Swofford and whoever else to throw him into the sun.
I was just going to tell you that Rodimus then turned out to be a little bitch in the rest of the cartoon series. Anyway,
he didn't get a chance to become a leader.
Sorry, anything sorry, other than a little bitch? That's right.
Help me, Optimus. I'm sorry.
Hey, at least Rodimus didn't get compacted by a trash compactor like Springer did.
Oh. So
anyway,
Optimus Prime says, "Rodimus, pull up your panties."
On that note, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back. Kevin's going to give you some statistics and honorable mentions after this.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
I, Starscream, have taken over Transformers Prime Time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Pecan Court Michael, as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network, you can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.
We are back. Give us the stats, Kev.
Alrighty. Coming in last for Transformers moments would be the Unicron trilogy. Did not.
Why did you even count that?
Not have a moment.
It wasn't mentioned at all. Yeah.
No mention for the Unicron trilogy. So after that, we had two mentions for the Bayverse. Thanks to myself and Mr. Wilson. We had a tie for three mentions, both for Transformers Animated and Transformers Prime. So the two most recent series each had three mentions. Thanks mostly to TFG and Mike and his two animated mentions, but he also had the two Transformers Prime mentions, so he likes the current series.
He's very diverse.
Yes. Then we had four mentions, only four mentions from G1. We're not counting the movie here. Only four from the series proper. Kind of surprising there. What's most surprising to me, I guess, would be that the third most mentions comes from Beast Machines, with six moments mentioned from Beast Machines. Follow that up with our second most mentions being from Beast Wars, which had 10 mentions, obviously mostly carried by the five that Steve mentioned for that one. And then Mr. Wilson helped us get to our number one, which would be Transformers the Movie, which had 12 mentions, six of which were from Mr. Wilson and another three from myself. Mike, no G1 mentions whatsoever. Explain yourself.
Holy shit.
Why do you hate the good stuff?
I at least mentioned TFG1 half the time.
So I don't know. I could see, you know, maybe Blanchard wasn't old enough to remember the original cartoons. Like,
no, I was. I was. It.
It's not fresh.
Season one and season two. Season one and season two ran in syndication.
The TFG1 podcast is still souring his mind on G1. Yeah. So we'll have to fix that. We'll fix that soon. If we were to do this in a couple years from now, he would have more G1 moments.
When the movie came out, I was still collecting the toys. So I mean, it was like fresh, and you know, this was like my mindset at that age.
And we also had quite a bit of duplications, which obviously always means we're right. We had the reformatting by Unicron mentioned a couple different times. We had the season finale from Beast Machines, the Code of Hero from Beast Wars. Obviously, a bunch of Transformers moments, the movie moments as far as the death scene, the touch, the different Unicron stuff. So quite a few different things that were mentioned multiple times. But yeah, Transformers the Movie had the most moments that we picked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kev, what are your honorable mentions? Well, first of all, how many do you have?
Oh, I just got like 10. They're pretty quick. Pretty quick ones.
Just 10.
As far as Transformers Prime, Soundwave finally speaking was a pretty cool moment. Just not obviously none of these stand up to the ones that I actually picked. Another Transformers the movie moment that nobody actually mentioned, but I thought was would be in my list if I expanded to 20 would be Starscream getting his just desserts with the coronation and the shot to the face. I thought that was a pretty cool scene. I had some more Beast Wars stuff that didn't make the list. I thought the initial death of Pterosaur and Scorponok, similar reasons for when I had the death of Brawn, Prowl, Ratchet, etc. But when Scorponok and Pterosaur die, and then Cheetor, Rattrap, Megatron, and Tarantulas all become, I'll get the reformatting. I thought that was a turning point in Beast Wars. When Ravage returns in Beast Wars and then gets they play the message from G1 Megatron to him. The appearance of the Ark in Agenda from Beast Wars, and then at the end when Waspinator just quits the Beast Wars. That's hilarious. I quit the Beast Wars. What else? A couple G1 moments that we didn't mention. The initial roll call of the Autobots in More Than Meets the Eye when they're all lined up there, that always was a moment that stuck with me. I know it's just, hey, here's all our toys or whatever, but it still was a cool moment. Like, we're introducing you to the Autobots that you're gonna follow for a while. The whole Starscream's ghost and Octane in that one episode was pretty cool. A moment that always stuck with me was when they visited the Autobot tombs after the movie, and they're like, oh, these are where the Autobots are kept or whatever. And then Prime and Galvatron side by side to take on the Hate Plague was a cool moment for me when they're basically shaking hands and face to face. That they would have made an interesting team if they had tried to do that more often. So yeah, those were some other moments that I thought about, but just nothing that quite lived up to the moments that I actually picked.
Michael?
Starscream's ghost in Beast Wars. That was pretty epic. I did not expect to see that. And when it actually happened, it was like, this was the coolest thing ever, because they were really hearkening back to G1. You know, they would eventually make it back to Mount St. Hilary, or, you know, the mountain, the volcano that the Ark was mm-hmm. in. But that was really the first, you know, real sense that it was tied to the original source material.
I should say, at any moment, G1 is referenced in any future cartoon.
Yeah.
Whether it be animated, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Transformers Prime, if they do a shout out to G1, it's my favorite moment.
Yeah, animated, you know, almost immediately did a shout out to G1.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, it was like, hey, look,
because they showed old G1 footage is what they did.
Yeah. Oh, it was cool. I thought it was cool. Anyway. Let's see, where was Beast Wars Megatron. And Steve will appreciate this, but another line that I will actually say in conversation with people, it comes from Beast Wars Megatron, and he said, I think it was Quickstrike who said, "Are you talking to yourself?" And Megatron says, "I have a penchant for intelligent conversation."
Black Arachnia.
Was it Black Arachnia?
Yep.
Okay. I talked to myself because I have a penchant for intelligent conversation. Nice. And again, it's one of those things that, you know, nobody outside of the Transformers fandom will recognize, and they're like, oh, that's interesting.
He was saying something along the lines of, oh, yes, I am good, aren't I? And then Black Retin is like, who are you talking to? Or why are you talking to yourself? And he's
I simply have a penchant for intelligent conversation.
That's perfect.
I love it when Megatron talks to himself. I do that at work to screw with people.
Any others, Michael?
No, not a fan. That'll do it for the day, for the night.
Steve, honorable mentions.
I have to agree with every one of them that's been mentioned thus far. I would definitely list all of those.
Yep. All right then.
The entirety of the fart and burping scenes from Rhinox in the Low Road.
Course.
When Dinobot 2 shreds Waspinator, the first real glossy, I guess you could say, scene of Astro Train right after Megatron, right after Starscream kicks Megatron in the movie. And the opening scene for Transwarped, where we got 5 seconds of animated Rodimus before we got Cosmic Rusted. Jerks.
Talk about fanboys.
Yeah. Are you channeling your inner Proto Man?
No. He's got it worse than I do. I mean, he's got like a million things that are Rodimus based. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Next time in episode 47, oh boy, it's going to be a long one, or we may have to decide what we're going to do on this, but I have listed our top 10 favorite Transformers voice actors and our top 10 favorite Transformers voices.
Oh, man.
So that'll be episode 47.
I can't wait.
I'm sure. Steve, why don't you take us out?
You realize that one's going to be
long.
Well, not only that, but it's going to be a lot of the same.
You never know.
Well, I mean, when you got Frank Welker doing 12 characters in one series, and you know, Scott McNeil doing 4 in one program, and
those would be people that you could list as your favorite voice actors, and then for voices, you could pick multiple from one person if you wanted to.
Yeah.
She'll be interesting anyway. So, thank you for listening to All Things Transformers. Catch us next time when we talk about all of that. And till all are one.
RC reporting in. You're listening to All Things Transformers.